Hello again, and welcome to the KWCA podcast. I'm Seaman High School head coach Patrick Kelly. On today's program, we'll be visiting with Cade Lau. The St. James Academy senior closed out his high school career with four state medals and a 2020 5A state championship in the 220-pound weight class. He also made waves on the national stage when he finished as a double All-American in 2019 at Fargo, where he finished in third place in freestyle and fourth in Greco. Cade came out on top of his state finals match that pitted him against fellow top five nationally ranked Kyle Haas of Mays. The academic All-Stater was named KWCA 5A Senior Wrestler of the Year in addition to being named the Dave Schultz Award winner for Kansas. Before we get to Cade's interview, St. James head coach Mike Medina checks in. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, St. James Academy was founded in 2005, and you have been the head coach since it was established. And you have brought the team to perennial power status with several state trophies and a 5A state championship in 2014. During your tenure, you have coached several high-level competitors. The list is almost too long to mention. This year, among your team was one of those high-level competitors in Cade Lau. The 220-pounder was in the top five of the national rankings, and Chief had him penciled in as a top senior in Kansas among the class of 2020. Cade garnered that attention largely due to his double All-American finish at the 2019 Junior Nationals in Fargo, in addition to his solid scholastic accolades with three state medals, including a runner-up finish. Going into a state finals match last spring, where would you have ranked Cade on the St. James all-time list, and where did he move as a result of his performance in that match?
Boy, that's a pretty tough question. Every kid's a little bit different. From Ryan Coakley, our four-time state champ, Taylor Bader, three-timer, his brother Cade or Clay that won three titles. They all have their attributes, but Cade was his freshman year is a perfect example. He was sick as heck, had 102 fever, done the regional finals, had to forfeit that match. He goes to state. He's got pink eye early in the week. Couldn't practice. So 2 weeks of not practicing. The first time he never had a problem making weight because he'd been so sick. And he loses that first match at state. But, you know, he showed his true heart. He wrestled all the way through the backside, placed sixth place. So, you know, being a four-time placer. His junior year, I think we all know he had Wyatt in his bracket. He had one of the toughest kids. He could easily have changed weights. He said no. He wanted to wrestle the best kids. Also, the young man from Eudora or from El Dorado. And, you know, he seeked out those tough matches. And I think he learned that from his brother who got to wrestle Mark Hall his junior year up at Cedar Falls. And, you know, Cade was a true competitor, a true athlete. You know, in football, I think we all know his football accolades. And in wrestling, he was just a kid that was always wanting to learn. This year, the match he lost, I think that's a match that helped him be a state champion this year. It kept him working hard. He lost by trying to move. We had just been working on that week. He slipped, made a mistake, got caught. But, you know, he always kept his head up. He was working out twice a day. So to compare him to any of the other kids we've had, that would be difficult because they're all hard workers. I think they were all great athletes, and they're all great people.
And I figured you'd give a response like that, actually, but it is an interesting thing to ponder with some of those kids that you've had and just where he stacks up. But so from my outside looking in point of view, it appears that you have kind of a related question, actually. It appears that you have built the program on a schedule that puts your guys to the test, so much so that I really think that the Kansas State Tournament is not the strongest tournament on your schedule, and that's not a knock to the Kansas State Tournament. Why is it important to you to put the kids through such a grind to prepare for the end of the season?
You know, I'm kind of the belief, and I talk to our wrestlers immediately about it, that you have to lose to learn. Too many kids go out there and they view success on wins. And, I mean, you can go out there, anybody could hit a headlock and pin a kid. You could be getting beat by 14 points, hit a headlock and pin them. But you've got to go out there and grind. You have to learn to wrestle, not just for yourself, your school, for your team, for your higher power, whatever it may be, you have to put yourself out there. You have to wrestle when you're sick, when you're injured. You have to learn to compete. And with the schedule we have going to Garden City, when we go out to Allen, Texas, to Council Bluffs, it makes them, I guess you would say, humble and understands that there's always someone out there that's better than you, so you can't ever stop working. I think it truly paid off. Ryan Coakley, Taylor Mader, we went up to Colorado one year, and they wrestled some tough, tough kids. And with the altitude, it was tough. We had a kid on our team that year that had a losing record. And I told him, I said, listen, regionals is going to be the easiest tournament you had all year. And he wins, goes out there and pins a 2 and 3 seed to make the finals. It gets to go to state. So I think for all of our kids that started as freshmen, never wrestled before, up to our top-tier athletes that were state champions in kids club, it teaches them to be humble and to learn how to compete.
Ironically, two of the biggest individual matches during your tenure have involved the Lout Boys and Mays High School wrestlers. Clay avenged a loss to Brett Moon of Mays in the 2016 finals while Moon was riding a near 100-match win streak. Younger brother Cade worked his own magic when he took down another hammer from Mays High and beating world team member Kyle Haas this spring. It was especially obvious to me in Cade's match that he was well prepared specifically for Haas's style. What part did you play in helping Clay and Cade win these matches from the underdog role? Were there technical, tactical, or mental adjustments that you helped them work through?
As we talked about before, part of it was the schedule. I explained to them that, hey, you've been here before. You've seen guys like this before. When you talk about Kyle, I mean, he is at the top of the ladder. I mean, he's had a lot of success. He's a tough wrestler. So we knew with our schedule, we had to put ourselves out there to compete against some of the best kids. Like this year, Cade going to the Kansas City Stampede, and last year going there. For Cade last year wrestling against Wyatt, matches like that prepared him for that. But yes, I mean, we can't ever prepare just for one kid or one athlete that we're going to wrestle, but that is part of what we do. We understand that certain things, hey, we can't push into this kid. If he switches his feet this way, or if he's on the edge of the mat, we need to move this way. We need to be smart about what we're doing. We also communicate with other people that have seen some of these wrestlers and do scout and try to understand what we can do, what are our strengths. We weren't just going to worry about what they were going to do to us. Cade had almost 3 close takedowns, and that was something we prepared for where we could get into the legs. And then also not just wrestling one style. Understanding that, you know, we have to be able to move. We have to be good on top, bottom, and in neutral. And I think Cade, you know, he was working out twice a day. He'd show up 5:30 at school, get on the bus, go to practice. Then afterwards, he'd show back up at practice. He was working out twice a day. He put in the time, he prepared, and it paid off.
It certainly did. Take yourself back to Clay's match in 2016 and Cade's match this last spring. Before the match, did you really feel, how confident were you that they're going to win these matches? I can just feel it. Or was there doubt in your mind? Just what was your feeling prior to the matches?
Probably more nervous than they were. They, you know, those boys, they've got a great family support. They're very confident. They know they put in the work. They trust in the work. With Clay, he'd lost a couple times to Moon in close matches where he, you know, let him escape and then right back in on a takedown and gives up 3 points, loses by 1. He had 4 or 5 takedowns on the edge of the mat. So we game planned. We prepared. We knew it was going to be a close match. We knew neither wrestler were going to write each other out, basically the same as with the Haas match. And we knew that when we had our chance, we needed to make sure that he was at least one step away from the out-of-bounds and could not get out-of-bounds so we could get that takedown. And if you look at overtime of Clay's match, that's exactly what happened.
You see him pull him in, that extra step. The line's towards the out of bounds. It's too far away. He can't get there. We capture both legs, and we get the two for a takedown. With the Haas match, it was kind of the same thing. It was be prepared, fight the tie-ups, heavy hands, move, get through the one period at a time. You know, and I had told him before the match, watch the stand-up to the switch. And when Haas did that and got his leg up in the air, I wanted to walk out there and wring his neck because we had talked about that. And he was able to get out of it because he is very athletic. And we wanted to keep the pressure on. We'd wrestled a lot of matches throughout the year that were 6 minutes. You know, Cade wasn't – the goal was he was – if he had the opportunity to pin a guy, it was time to pin him. But he had some tough competition that had taken him six-minute matches. He wrestled a kid from Carthage that was nationally ranked. And we went 6 minutes with him. And those matches prepared him to wrestle the full 6 minutes and to keep the pressure on. And when the takedown was there, to take it. And one thing we had talked about also, when you get the takedown, when you're taking them down, you've got to make sure to finish your finish. We talk about that all the time. And you can see with that final takedown, Cade, there was no doubt about it. He was going to make sure he got that takedown. He wasn't going to let Haas get a foot on the mat where he could get tossed. Kyle's got some of the best hips in the nation, some of the best hips you've ever seen, and they're quick. And so you got to make sure that he can't get that toe on the mat and get a toss on you. And Cade was very smart about doing that and how he got that takedown. And so he was prepared for it. He totally believed that he could win. He'd worked hard for it. I think a number of people in Kansas had said, you know, Cade didn't win it that year. He was probably going to be one of the best wrestlers ever to not win a state title. And he totally believed that he could win that match, as his brother did. And I totally had faith in him, too. It's just he had to stick with the game plan.
Yeah, that's quite a retelling. And what an electric moment that was when he got the takedown. You know, it's too bad that, you know, we are so fractured in the state of Kansas with three state tournaments, because that was, you know, about as big of a moment as I've witnessed, you know, been there to witness personally in wrestling, in all my years of watching wrestling. And it's too bad that, you know, more of the Kansas wrestling fans couldn't have seen it.
It was probably the most emotional, from what people have said, that I've been after a match. And it was because of the preparation of, you know, last year, all the hard work he put in. And you know, he had number two ranked down the nation that year also that he had to get through. And, you know, Wyatt was a machine. His brother Clay had wrestled him the year before, and we knew that was going to be very difficult. He did a great job taking him, taking him 6 minutes when he wrestled him in Garden City earlier in the year. But, you know, Wyatt was a seasoned wrestler and came into the state finals prepared, and that he was going to be aggressive this time. And, you know, that's what we told Cade, is that you have to believe you are the senior now. You have put in the time. You are a national ranked wrestler. You've shown it at the national level. You've wrestled other national. I think the year before he wrestled 9 or 10 guys that are ranked in the top 20 in the nation. So he'd been through the grind. He just now had to be mature enough to stick with the game plan. And that's what he did. But yeah, the emotions were very high. I've watched it a thousand times from track wrestling's point of view, to some of the views that my parents have. And it was great to see the emotions, not just from our stands, but the other boys that have put in the time with Cade over the summer from other teams. And it was great to see. I think it was a big moment for Kansas wrestling and, you know, obviously for our program.
Yeah. And I really like that point that you're making, a big moment for Kansas wrestling, because, you know, I don't know how many times, probably you could count them on one hand, I would imagine, that there's ever been a match where two nationally ranked, I mean, top five nationally ranked kids meet like that. And so it's, you know, it's also, you know, honor Cade with this, but also to honor Kyle, because, You know, it was just really like you say, big moment in the history of Kansas wrestling, really.
Yeah, and matches like that should make Kyle a better person, a better wrestler, and that's what it did for Cade. And I think it was, like you said, it was great for the sport and great for the state. I mean, those boys, I think, are definitely going to go on to college and have success, kind of like Clay is now.
So Cade was named the KWCA 5A Senior Wrestler of the Year, the Dave Schultz Award winner for Kansas, and the overall Wrestler of the Year in Chiefs all-class rankings. What did he mean to the Thunder program, and what will you miss most about him now as he moves on to the University of North Carolina?
Obviously, like his brother, his work ethic, and what he's done for the program. You know, I've had people talk to me, are you retiring after that year? You know, he's gone through the Coakleys, the Louts. So I said, you know, the program's not built off of a couple names. The program is built off the families, the support. You know, it's truly a family that we have at St. James. We've had a number of kids, Ben Muhlenberg, who started as a freshman, that got involved with wrestling, got involved with Ryan Coakley, going to the extra workout. Next thing you know, Ben takes second in state. Senior year, ends up being the two-time state placer. Got Andrew Tujak that ended up being the two-time state champion that had a little taste of it, little kids, but then didn't wrestle for 4 or 5 years and decided to come back out in high school. We've had a number of boys like that. That's what a program's built off of. It's not just built off your national placers, your Pan Am champ, junior nationals champ, your college wrestlers. It's built off of all these younger boys that got involved in something that they found out and their families found out how special the sport is. And they're the ones that constantly are giving back to our program, showing up, drilling with the boys. I've had a number of ex-wrestlers that started as freshmen that come back and basically are $200, $300 coaches just showing up when they can to help us at a tournament or help with the practice. And that's the only way we've been able to survive because I only have full-time paid coaches. And, you know, I look around at other schools that have got 5 varsity coaches sitting in the tournament. And I've got all these guys giving back and helping out the program. And so when you have boys like them that other boys feed off of, they want to be around successful kids, which breeds success into these other young men that maybe would have been sitting at home playing Xbox or not involved in anything. Or like I said, sometimes have said, go to the dark side and doing the wrong things. They get involved, they become productive students, productive in their faith and their formation, and I'm sure they're going to be productive with their family life as they grow up and get older and have their own families. And to me, that's what a program is. That's what it's about. It's not just about these excellent kids, but, you know, they've bred into our younger kids about what it takes to get there, that they didn't win state and stop working out. You know, they worked harder because now they have a bullseye on them. They see that, hey, he's the best, but he's lifting every single day and he's working out in the morning at 5:30 and then he's coming again after school and then he's getting straight A's and I want to be like him. And that's what's making our whole program better. It's what's made us successful. But success isn't, to me, built off of just the wins and losses. Some of the best wins I remember are kids that, you know, barely qualified for state and went 0-2. It's because of seeing how far they came. So I think with those two boys and the other state placers, state champions, state qualifiers that we've had, it's what they've bred into the younger boys that gets them involved in summer wrestling and seeing how important it is and how important it is not to just show up and go through the moves, but to come up with a plan on what you're going to get out of this practice. And that's what's really helped our program with boys like Cade and Clay and Ryan and Taylor and Andrew and Ben, and I could go on and on. It's just how they've shown these other boys what it takes to be successful, not just in wrestling, but in life.
All right, well said there. Thank you for taking the time to jump on today and give us your reflections on 2020 KWCA 5A Wrestler of the Year and Dave Schultz High School Excellence Award winner, Cade Lau. Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you, and thanks for promoting the sport of wrestling.
With us on the line is Cade Lout, the 2020 5A Senior Wrestler of the Year and Dave Schultz Award winner for Kansas. Cade, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Right, as a freshman, you placed sixth at 152 pounds for St. James Academy. As a sophomore, you were in fourth place at 182-pound weight class that included the best top four of any weight class in any division across the board. As a junior, you finished as runner-up at 220 pounds to one of the best in the nation, Wyatt Hendrickson of Newton, who is competing now for Air Force Academy. Interesting, the same competitor that your brother beat in the 182-pound finals two seasons earlier. As a senior, the talk around the state was that Cade Lout of St. James will go down as one of the best never to win a state championship. Likely a four-time state medalist in addition to a Fargo AAA in 2019, but not on the same level as world teamer Kyle Haas of Mays. Accolades aside, the talk was justified as Haas pinned you in the 2018 third and fourth place match at state. What was it about the challenge of taking on Haas that intrigued you?
I mean, I knew the times I wrestled him before, I didn't give my best performance. Obviously, Kyle's a great wrestler. I just knew I had a lot more I could show. And, you know, I mean, hearing the talk that I would be one of the best to never win. I mean, I know I'm good enough to win. I know I was good enough to do it, and I was just ready to show what I could do.
Okay, so the thought in your mind was never to dodge him by going up to heavyweight, for example. You were blinders on, directed at 220 and wanted to see him in the state finals. Is that the case, or was there some doubt?
No, there was never any thought of to go heavyweight or to go a different way. I mean, I would rather get second at 220 than try to dodge him and end up winning.
So it's unfortunate on a few different levels that the Kansas holds its high school state tournaments at three different sites on the same weekend. The 5A-6A tournament is contested at Hartman Arena in Park City. The 5,000-seat arena is nearly filled to capacity each year for the finals, but I believe we could take on, you know, 12 to 15,000 with a combined tournament. That's a discussion for another time. My point in bringing it up here is that over half of those who attended state tournaments this year missed a rare, maybe even unprecedented happening in Kansas when two wrestlers ranked in the top five nationally in their weight classes met in the finals. I don't want to take anything away from Jackson Stroud of Wichita North, who won a 9-7 sudden victory battle over Trevor Lister of Blue Valley in the 6A finals, but virtually all eyes were on the 5A mat at the west end of Hartman when you pulled out a last-second 3-1 victory over Haas. The crowd erupted with your takedown to secure the win. It's my opinion that if the situation would have been a last-second win for Haas, the reaction would have been the same. It seemed to me that an arena full of fans knowing that they were watching something special and were equally appreciative of both you and Kyle. Take us through your mental preparation from after your semifinals victory until go time. Also, it seemed that you had a specific strategy of avoiding his upper body weapons and staying on the offense with your frequent shot attempts. Was that something that Coach Medina and staff worked on with you, or did you think through that strategy on your own?
I mean, it was kind of the whole preparation to it was kind of a whole year thing. Just how I feel is I get my confidence through my preparation. So when I know I'm prepared, I know what I have to do. So after that, after my semifinals match, you know, check weight, make sure everything is good. And then from there, kind of just I try to relax, don't think about it too much, at least that night. And then going into the day of the finals, you know, sleep in a little bit, get my head right, get a warm-up in, and just try not to stress about it too much because at that point, I know nothing I do then is going to change the outcome of the match. It's the whole season, the whole everything coming into before that weekend. So I was very confident before that. I stayed calm, and I knew what I needed to do, which was just avoid underhooks because that's his strength. That's where he's beat me before. Clear underhooks and stay on my attacks, my offense the whole time, and it ended up working.
Yes, it did. Understatement there. So, you were also one of the top footballers in the state of Kansas. Was playing football an option for you, or was wrestling your main focus in regard to college?
There was a little bit of time in my junior year during football season when I was thinking about really pursuing football, but it was. The main turning point was my junior year wrestling season, when I first beat Braden Morgan, the 220 from El Dorado, that's kind of when it opened up that I can really do something with this sport and get somewhere. And then that carried throughout the season and then into Fargo. It made the decision easy.
So were there other options that you were thinking of besides North Carolina, or was that kind of your dream to go there with Clay?
At the time, I was talking to like three other schools when I committed. I was talking to Kent State, Duke, and Air Force. But I mean, it was a pretty easy decision for me. North Carolina, I love the coaches. I love it down there. Having Clay there, it's the right program for me.
So what are your goals as you look towards your future in Chapel Hill?
My first goal is to make the starting lineup, but I think I'll be redshirting the first year. But my biggest goal is obviously an NCAA championship.
Okay, and dare I ask, I mean, are you looking heavyweight or 97? Would 97 be a possibility?
Yeah, well, it kind of just depend on how big I can get, see if I could get big enough to wrestle at heavyweight. See if I get to about 235, 240, and if I can't, then start to cut.
What do you walk around at, like, right now?
Right now, I'm about 220, 225, in between there.
Okay, so that, I mean, at that probably would be almost a right size 97 pounder at the D1 level. So, interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of just trying to keep my options open now. Try to see how big I can get, and if not, I think I could cut the weight decently easy.
All right, we have been visiting with Cade Lout, 2020 5A Senior Wrestler of the Year and Dave Schultz Award winner for the state of Kansas. Thank you for taking the time to join us, and all the best to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And before we sign off today, I want to remind you of a couple of upcoming events, the first of which is the NWCA, the National Wrestling Coaches Association Virtual Convention, which will be held July 29th through the 31st. Registration this year is only $99, so take advantage of that if you can. And at the registration checkout, use the promo code KWCA, as the NWCA is offering a little kickback to our organization for each member of the Kansas wrestling community that registers for that event. So they've got the lineup out there now, the schedule of events, and it really does look good. So I encourage you to take that in if you can. Again, it's only $99, and there's an incentive for a little kickback to the KWCA. And also want you to just kind of keep on the horizon the annual fall clinic, the Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic, which will be the first weekend in October in Salina. John Smith and crew will be there, so that's always a great event. So I'd encourage you to get that on your calendar now. This has been Patrick Kelly with the KWCA Podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.